Good morning. So good to see all of you who are not traveling for Labor Day, and some of you who are here because you're traveling for Labor Day. So thank you for taking time to be with us at Tempe Church of Christ, where our mission, our vision, is to pursue life with God together. And so last week, we celebrated Sun Devil Sunday and the kickoff of a new semester, and lots of just joy and celebration as a new year of campus ministry kicks off and celebrating our college students. I like just singing the hymns today because part of our values, what we're trying to do as a community of faith, is to honor not just the young and not just the old, but to honor people, to say we hear you, and that we each on this journey of pursuing God and life with him together, we want your voice matters and what you have to say. And so I heard voices today singing some of these songs because not everybody knew these songs that I don't always hear every week, and I was blessed by that, so thank you. Genesis chapter 12, where we will be in just a few moments. We're starting a new series for the month of September, talking about the forerunners of our faith. So forefathers is what we read about with Abraham in Romans, but it wasn't just Abraham, was it? We had Sarah as well. And it wasn't just Abraham and Sarah, we had Lot, and we have Lot's family, and we have priests that show up, and we have slaves that speak into this story. And so as we walk over the next few weeks together, we're going to look at these forerunners of our faith together. People on a journey with God, that is what we are, but this is not a new story. It's happening here, it's live, it's here and now, but it's not something new, right? We've got some ancient light that has been shed on our situation. So you probably can't see this very well. That's kind of the point. It's intended to be a marble. If you can tell that it's actually a Lego Flash helmet, then good for you. You do not need to see the eye doctor this week. I couldn't find a marble. I watched a video this week about our universe, our solar system in particular. So if you take something like this to represent the Earth, something about the size of a marble or a Lego Flash mask, you find that that is Earth. If that's the proportion of Earth, you have to go about 3.5 miles that way to get to the edge of our solar system. You have to go about 3.5 miles that way to get to the other edge. About 7 miles is what we need if this is Earth. So we are about 105 million kilometers from our sun. And if light leaves the sun traveling at 300,000 kilometers a second, 8 minutes and 20 seconds later, on average, it gets here. By the time we see the light that we're seeing, it's already at least 8 minutes and 20 seconds old. Light from the past that illuminates our present. The author Anthony Doerr describes the beauty of ancient light something like this, and he's speaking into the 1940s. So he says, "Every summer, the whole life of this plant, its leaves catch what light they could and transformed the sun's energy into itself. Bark, twigs, stems. Because plants eat light much the way that we do food. But then the plant died, it fell, maybe into water, and it decayed into peat, and the peat was folded inside the earth for years upon years, eons, in which something like a month or a decade or even your whole life seems just like a puff of air. A snap of two fingers. And eventually that peat dried and became like stone. Somebody dug it up, and it's coal. And the coal man brings it to your home, and maybe you bring it over and you use this coal to then light your home and warm your home. This ancient sunlight, buried for so long, bursts forward again in new energy. Ancient light that is on the move, transforming into something new, fire and dust, and then this dust becomes something that cultivates the ground for a new tree that's going to grow and start this cycle all over again. Light from the past that illuminates our present. That's what I think about often as I'm reading these stories about people named Abraham who lived thousands of years before me. Let's read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 8 together. The Lord says to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name respected. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left, just as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And when they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshipped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out towards the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. Making and breaking camp. Genesis. This book, which you may know, means beginnings, which hints that it's only the start of a much, much larger story. So thousands and thousands of turns around the sun ago, this man named Avram, who we call Abram, and then Abraham, he was living this ordinary life. And he goes out on this journey with his parents, but he stops midway. And it's just kind of life as normal. A nephew is born. His brother passes away. They name this place where they're staying, apparently, after that brother. It's just kind of matter of fact. There's not a lot of emotion in this story, but there's a lot of motion. It's more a story about movement. It's a story about starts and stops and starting again. It's a story about a journey. This journey that is geographical, but it's really something much more about theology and what God is doing in the world. And so it's this dynamic constant. What I mean by that is this thing that's always changing, and yet somehow it's remaining constant, similar, the same. And faith is the story of God stepping into this dynamic constant that we call here and now and meeting us there. And then urging us and nudging us forward, calling us out very, very patiently. So I don't know if you've ever enjoyed the stop-motion classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Do you know the painstaking hours it took to bring you that moment of joy? Maybe up to like 15 to 30 shots per second that they take this picture, they go and they move all the models around to the next thing, they take the picture again, and then they run these together. Amazing what they can do. When I was reading about that this week, it said a 60 to 90 second video of stop motion might take up to 6 weeks to put together, depending on what they're trying to accomplish. And I think sometimes we forget about just how much it has taken to bring us to this point in time. And we live as if maybe there's not that much distance between me and a person named Abraham, who's the father of my faith, according to Romans, like Dave read for us earlier. God is so very, very patient, meeting us where we are and speaking into that context and calling us forward, stop motion, just one little bit at a time. We don't always learn so quickly, do we? He says, "But I'm patient and I'll meet you here." Sometimes we do forget just how far away we are from Abraham in almost every way. Like, I wonder, what is the family resemblance that makes my faith the same as his? How are we connected? What's the DNA that draws us together here? So I wonder, like, what would I say to this man, Abraham, if I had a chance? This giant of the faith who helped set this precedent of believing in God and being justified by trusting what God will do and not what has happened yet. But I didn't get very far in that thought experiment before I thought, it doesn't really matter what I would say because he wouldn't understand a word of English. And that's just one of the barriers between me and him, right? He's not going to understand Spanish or even Hebrew, perhaps. We don't know what he spoke, but it seems to have been something much different. His culture is so very different than mine. He's able to say, "I'll do this because somebody else will benefit. I don't get the land, but my descendants will, and that matters to me." Where I think, but what do I get? That's my culture. That's my individualism coming out. Like, how do I benefit in the here and now if I'm going to go out on this journey? Would I be willing to live a faithful life so my children's children's children would get the result and benefit of that? God meets us in both of these cultures, and he speaks so well. Because I think as he blesses all the world through Abraham, he sees all of our faces at the same time. And he wants this unique relationship with each of us so that individually we know him. And yet he calls us in to this community. Abraham's values are a lot different than mine. He marries his sister for one. He lies about marrying his sister for another. I might do that, actually. He sleeps with his handmaid. You don't have to twist his arm very hard, so the story goes. He says, okay, we'll try this other plan to have a son. He's willing to then sacrifice both of those sons, really. One he casts out and the other he's willing to kill. And these values are so different than mine that, honestly, if I'm reading them with any kind of consciousness at all, I'm almost offended by a lot of what Abraham does. This guy doesn't know Jesus, at least not yet. And I'm searching for that more excellent way. And so I just want to point out through these things that it's so easy to overlook the incredible difference that Abraham was living in the world that I live in now. So what is it that makes him the forefather of my faith? Would he look at my faith and say, ah, I see where you went with that? Or would he say, what in the world are you doing? This dynamic constant of faith that God calls us into. Where's the family resemblance? It's ever new, yet it's ever the same. It is constant, and yet it's changeless. And this is kind of the struggle we have in living with other people, right? Because some of us want to say, these are the things we hold on to, and they don't change. It's what makes us who we are. And then others of us say, yes, but that the implication is this, and so we have to try it in a new way, in a new place. And we just live in that tension, right? Of living this old, ancient faith in a new environment. And God meets us here. And I'm so grateful for that. He meets us in this place, in the tension of the now. And he says, I'm with you. Let's go somewhere. You say, where are we going? I'll show you when we get there. Do you have the faith to follow? See, the one thing that disappoints me often about faith is it's not copy and paste. Like, on the one hand, I'm standing on the shoulders of so many people who have taught me how to live and who to be. And yet I can't copy and paste it, can I? I don't get to just take their experiences and make them mine. I have to go out and test them for myself. I have to have my own experience of God, because I can tell you all about what God is like in my experience. But that doesn't make it your experience, does it? He wants this relationship with each and every one of us. So we are the fruit of this ancient promise where there are no borrowed experiences with God. That's what I love about the spiritual formation groups and the various different things we're trying to do here at Tempe's, because we want to have an experience of God for ourselves that then informs what our community will be. Here's a few things that I think do tie us to this man, Abraham, and the faith that we live out today. This ancient promise that will bless the nations. First of all, Abraham, he believes God before God does anything. I don't know if you noticed when I was reading our text earlier, but there are a lot of I wills, not many I've already done this. So come take a walk with me, and I will, and it will be such and such, and you'll love it. It's going to be great, right? It will be great. It's not great now, per se. Let's take a walk. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. Abraham says, okay. And that is his faith. Sounds a lot like Jesus walking up to some people on a shore one day, and he said, if you would be my disciples, come and follow me. And they leave their nets, and they go. And I think, am I that kind of person? I'm pretty spontaneous. I can live without a plan most days, but I like to at least know where I'm going to end up. Let me decide how to get there. But just tell me the general direction. And Jesus says, come and follow me. And God calls, and we call back. Or we don't, I suppose. And that's the difference in faith, right? I love how throughout this journey of starts and stops, when Abraham stops, he worships. He builds these altars, and he calls on the name of the God who called him first. And that's why I think it's just so incredible and so important that we take time to do what we're doing today. To live in these moments that from week to week feel very, very constant. What is changing? And yet they're so very dynamic because something is happening here that only happens here and now. This is what the Spirit is doing among us. And we can't always put our finger on it, but it's important and it's special. Faith is about this pacing, right? It is starting and stopping and starting again. And so we stop together, we pause to worship before we go out and say, but what do we do here and now? Because as we do this, we're creating this map that the people that follow us will try to traverse. We're setting up what the boundaries could be and asking people who follow us to then step out and say, can you do the same? Have you ever thought about the people who have gone before you, who have impacted your life and helped you see the world the way you do? I can't number the amount of people who have had the impact on me to make me who I am. And maybe for better and worse, right? Their decisions for better and worse help me see the world the way that I do. And then they invite me into that with God and say, and now you take a part. There's this consistent theme, though, in all of that, that you see God calling people forward. And generally, the theme is something like this. And this is what it's been in my life. So you can say for yourself if this is true or not. But it's don't go back. Learn, move, walk with God. But don't go back. Like with Abraham, you don't need to go where you were. Come to this new place that I will show you. Learn from the past, but live here and now in the present. This ancient light that is showing you a new path to walk. And so we hang on to these old stories, but we're writing something new here in Tempe, Arizona, with Jesus, right? Because he is at the center of everything we're doing. So how does God, so infinite, so beyond us, in so many ways, how does he introduce himself to us? Like we've said before, I think very, very slowly. Very, very patiently. We learn more and more about him. And the beauty of that, from Abraham and Sarah to Deborah and Jephthah and on and on and on, to all of these different people of faith, is that they learn a little more. And the picture only gets more beautiful. And so we don't go back. The story of illumination, of movement, there's no stepping back. So what is God calling you into today? Is the invitation this morning. Consider in your own life how God is challenging you, meeting you where you are, but calling you to step into new space, maybe with new people, or maybe with a new experience of himself with you. So consider these things as we stand and we worship.